You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You are listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us, Dave Kellner, Dave Tindall and Mike Grenham, all on this podcast ready for the Turkish Airlines Open and the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open, which is the PGA Tour event this week. The big news this week isn't that the world number one Dustin Johnson blew a huge lead at the WGC, or that Tiger Woods and his patented stinger are set to make a return at the Hero World Challenge. No, the bombshell is that this is Mike Grenham's last ever golf podcast. Mike, a warm welcome to you for the final time in the foreseeable future.
Absolutely, Dave. Yeah, well, thank you for that build-up. I wondered what it was going to be, and then it was me. the last one, but it's been great doing them, and I'll be listening going forward, of course, to you guys. So plenty of winners to come, no doubt. So, yeah, but there's some big news in the world as well, isn't there? Tiger coming back, that's in the golfing world. That's great to see, and God knows what those backers of Dustin Johnson thought at the weekend.
I know, I can laugh because I wasn't one of them, Mike, but it was some collapse, Dave, wasn't it, by the world number one?
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it? Because he had a big lead and completely blew it, and yet on the PGA Tour back in Mississippi, we had a guy trying to win for the first time with a big lead who just cruised home and played beautifully.
Yeah, It was the wrong way around. And Mike, just to go back to this being your last podcast for the foreseeable future, who's going to tip Bill Haas from now on, Mike?
That's a very good point, Dave. I think you might have to move away from Harris English and move over to him, perhaps.
And the seniors tour might as well not exist now, Mike, either without
you. It's
gone,
you. Isn't it? It's gone as far as the golf podcast is concerned.
What are we expecting from Tiger going forward as well? Because that, as Mike mentioned, was a huge story during the week. A golf journalist, Jason Sobel, I think summed it up quite well. He said, we'll probably see glimpses of the Tiger of old and get more than a dose of old Tiger as well, which I thought was a good way of putting it. But whatever happens, Mike, it's going to be exciting because we want to see Tiger Woods back and competing at the highest level.
We do, and I think for his frame of mind, being back in competitive golf and doing what he's best at would surely be good for him, because he seemed to be in quite a dark place. So I'm really hoping for him and for the game of golf that he can make a good fist of it and at least be... He's not going to be winning majors like he used to, obviously, but if he can be competitive at least, it would be great to see, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and he's not been installed into William Hill's betting for the Masters 2018 just yet, so hopefully that will come in the next few days. Let's get stuck into this week then, because we've got a good week of golfing action coming up, and we start with the Turkish Airlines Open, which is the sixth Rolex Series event on the European Tour this season. And it's worth noting that the five previous winners of these Rolex events have all been top draw tour professionals. Alex Noren won the BMW PGA Championship, Tommy Fleetwood the Open de France, John Rahm won the Irish Open, Rafa Cabrera-Bello won the Scottish Open, and most recently Tyrrell Hatton won in the Italian Open. And the race to Dubai is hotting up now as well, Dave, with Justin Rose winning last week. He's only played 10 events, Rose, this European Tour season, but he's still third on the list in the race to Dubai, and he'll be looking to put more heat on Tommy Fleetwood this week.
Yeah, he's still over a million points. In euros behind?
It's a point per euro.
Yeah, so he's a million behind, but obviously big purses on offer these last few events. So Rose could still catch him, as you say. I think Fleetwood played 21 events. Rose to be that near to him is impressive. And obviously he was brilliant last week, wasn't he, Justin Rose? Mm. Totally understand why he's favourite this week at 7-1. And I did check through his record. He has actually won back-to-back, even though it wasn't in consecutive weeks, when the Quicken Loans in the PGA Tour then came to the Scottish Open 2 weeks later and won again. So it's possible.
And we have a little bit of form to go on here as well, Mike, because the Regnum Carrier Golf Club hosts for the second consecutive year now. And it also hosted a low-grade Challenge Tour event back in 2010, which some of the players in the field this week participated in. The course itself is a par 71 measuring 7,159 yards, and the greens are pretty easy to hit around this golf course. Olesen won with a score of 20 under par last year, Mike.
Yeah, it looks like you're going to have to hit something around that, Dave, doesn't it? 20 under par thereabouts. So you're obviously going to have to putt well and get the birdies in. That's stating the obvious. Of the tee skills, I think I'd probably be a little bit more in favour of longer hitters and more accurate ones. I think, although it is tree lining, it's relatively forgiving. I think having a little bit of extra length and going in, you know, with your irons, lower irons is going to be helpful. Higher irons, should I say, is helpful. I think birdies, putting, just get it on the green in the right number. All of those things will work this week.
Dave, have you got an angle in?
I think I agree with Mike. I think you're looking for players who historically fire lots of birdies and eagles. I think it will be one of those 18, 20 under type things.
Yeah. Picks, Mike, have you got any?
Two picks for this one, Dave.
Yeah, I've just got one.
I've just got one as well. So, Mike, you lead off.
Yeah, two guys who can hit the ball a fair distance and hopefully, and can putt, definitely can putt. So Paul Dunne is my number one pick at 40-1, hoping that the prize hasn't changed.
Yeah, he is.
He's high up on the putting for greens in regulation and putts per round. I think he's second on both those stats on the European Tour. He's longer than a lot of people think. He's quite decent off the tee. He's been in very good form of late. He won 14th in the KLM, won the British Masters, 7th then in the Alfred Dunhill. Then a little dip of 26 in the Italian Open. It isn't a bad dip, to be fair. Now, last weekend in the HSBC, he was going very well until the final round, where my one slight reservation, although I think it might be why his price is as big as it is that he shot a 79 in the final round. Had he shot something like level par in the final round, he'd have been top 10. But the 79 dragged him down to 38th place, which I think has masked how well he's playing. He's in very, very good form. You know, he's a good putter, hits the ball a decent way. 40-1 strikes me as very decent each way value. I can't think he'll be that bothered by one bad round. He was right in the mix until the fourth round. So I like Paul Dunne each way. I think that's for a guy who's been in very good form of late, I like that price.
40-1 for the Irishman. Dave, your first pick?
Yeah, that segues nicely because mine's 40-1 as well. Alexander Levy. I always kind of think of him when you need lots of birdies and low scores. And checking through his record in Turkey, obviously this is the first year at Carrier, are we calling it?
The second year here, isn't it?
Second year here.
Yeah.
It was previously at the Montgomery Max where he was 11th and 18th, so that's it seems to enjoy coming to Turkey. Then at Carrier last year, struggled early on, but then shot 67, 65 on the weekends. He think maybe worked something out. That gave him another top 25. So three top 25s for Levy in Turkey, in this event in Turkey. So he does like it. Recently, we saw him finish 7th in the Alfred Dunhill links, which was a good knock. A little bit further back, he was runner-up in Germany when he should have won, to be honest. 26 in the Italian Open with four more rounds in the 60s. And then I thought it was okay last week, tied 31st. It's one of those ones. He shot three 71s. He's 25th going into the final day. A really good round, and he's, you know, top 15, nudging top 10. He went the other way slightly to finish 31st. But again, like Mike says, one sort of poor round at the end. Sometimes it just helps the price. One good round last week and he could have been 33. So
yeah.
I think 40-1 on a guy who's got a reputation for firing at the flags, making birdies, is decent in this event.
40-1 Alexander Levy for Dave. I'm going with Pablo Larrazabal as my selection this week, 80-1. There's certainly something endearing about Larrazabal. He's got that certain amount of charisma and a swashbuckling style, and he works.
You won't be saying that if he misses the cup, Dave.
I'd be cursing him if he misses.
I only like him when they play well.
His four wins on tour have come with winning totals ranging from -14 to -17, so he can make plenty of birdies. And he worked his way into contention in the Andalusia Masters on his most recent start before finishing in a tie for 12th. But what caught my eye with that performance was the way that he putted in Spain. He was red hot, and if he can maintain that, I think he can be a factor this week. Played here last year as well, finished a very respectable eighth, and he's got a tendency to find form, maintain it for a couple of weeks, and then go off the boil. And he was very good on the greens in this event last year, which I think is absolutely crucial this week. So at 80-1, I thought Larrathabal was definitely worth a few quid. So he's my sole selection in the event. Mike, who's your second pick?
Second pick, Dave, is Peter Uihlein, who's been back in good form again after a dip over the last couple of years. I think it started with his second place in the French Open in the middle of the summer there, and some solid appearances and results after that in Ireland. Then he won on the web.com tour in the US, the Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship, which is a good form pointer for this event. I'm making that up. 29th then after that, and a couple of missed cuts. But then two very good finishes on the European stroke co-sanctioned tour, with a 10th rather in the CIMB and a 5th in the HSBC event last weekend. He hasn't played at this track before, but in this event he's got an 11th and a 6th in the last few years. Good long hitter, very good putter, particularly putting decently at the moment. I just think Peter Uihlein is a quality player. Might not be quite as good as his mate Brooks Koepka, but I can see that he might well be now coming to realise the potential that a lot of us have thought he's had over the last few years. I like his chance this week. I think he's in red hot form.
You were mentioning, Dave, off air, that you fancied Uihlein as well.
Yeah, I definitely fancy him. Just maybe a little cramped in price, but not terrible price, but maybe just enough to put me off and make me side with Levy more. But yeah, I do definitely like Uihlein this week.
Peter Uihlein in the betting at 28-1. Any others worthy of mention, Mike, on your part?
Yeah, I thought there was a... look, the favourites, Rose and Stenson, are worthy favourites at about 8-1, aren't they? But they do make the market a little bit, so there is a little bit of each-way value, and I just thought they were both opposable. Obviously, they could both win. I really considered Shane Lowry, but I'm not sure he's putting quite well enough. Joost Luiten played ever so well at Valderrama. And then you also have to look at Ollison, who won here last year, so there's... You know, there's a good number on my list, to be fair. So, really competitive event. And an outsider, Wang, Yehong Wang, I think he's got a fair chance at a decent price this week. But the two that I picked are the two I'll go with.
Yeah, I liked... Ben Coley mentioned him in his Sporting Life piece, actually. Renato Paratore, who was definitely on my mind this week. We're slightly under the market price at 150-1, but I think he's a big threat. I think he's a big talent, and he's won earlier on in the season. Loves making birdies. Bounced back to form a couple of weeks ago in Valderrama on a golf course that might not fit his game as well as this one, and he did have a decent enough finish here last year, so I'll be keeping my eye on the young Italian, Renato Paratore, this week.
Yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Tyrrell Hatton is this year's Alex Noren and wins a bunch of them right at the end. Mm. So even though he's only 11-1, he's even got some course form. It wouldn't not surprise me at all if he goes in again.
Okay, let's move on. We've got the event on the PGA Tour this week as well, the Shriners, the event in Las Vegas. And Tony Finau is the 14-1 favourite here with William Hill. Patrick Cantlay is 20-1. Webb Simpson is 20-1. Anibal Lahiri, 25s, along with Chesson Hadley, Gary Woodland, and Kevin Chappell, and it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. We're heading to the gambling capital of the world, and TPC Summerlin, the host venue, has been the singular golf course used for this tournament since 2008, and given it's a resort course, the scoring has historically been good. In fact, only twice since 2008 has the winning score not been 20 under par or better. The fairways are historically tough to find, but it's an easy golf course, and one in which the length off the tee is not necessarily a factor either.
Yeah, normally I sort of poo-poo driving accuracy a bit because I always think it's the least important. But when you look at the stats last year, it was quite important, those who drove it straight. And the year before, I think when Smiley Kaufman won it, he was high up in the DA stats. So
yeah.
I'm with DT on this one. I don't think distance matters very much here, but I think to set up the easy birdie chances, I do think that you do need a bit of accuracy. So the stat that last year, most of the top 10 were very high on the shots tee to green, shots gained tee to green stat, and you know, decent accuracy as well. So I think that's the key. If you can hit the fairways, it just gives you a better chance of making more birdies.
Yeah, we've seen that with the list of winners here as well. We've had quite a few shorties of one, and Rod Pampling said after he won last year, he talked about how this course is one on which a player can be successful even if he's not the longest off the tee. And Webb Simpson has said as well that you can have different looks off each tee, and it's about setting up those birdie opportunities with good driving. So definitely worth having a look at those that can drive the ball well and accurately on this golf course. And I think being comfortable on the West Coast is a benefit as well. On these quick greens, putting touch is key. And also look at form at altitude and in the desert as well, Dave, I think.
Yeah, all those. I've got two picks. I don't know about you.
I've got one pick for me. Mike, what about you?
Two picks for me.
Okay. Dave, do you want to lead us off this time then?
Yeah, I'll lead us off in a fairly obvious way with Webb Simpson. You've just mentioned him at 22.
I've picked him, Dave.
All right, jolly good. All right,
a bit of my waffle.
Well, I'm sure Mike would have said all this, but you're looking at the various factors. Really, really good current form. He's had five top 20s in his last six starts. 17th in the Safeway, maybe just blew a bit of the dust off after putting his clubs away since the Tour Championship. There's just a few week gap. And former winner of this event, 2013. Couple of fourth seed the side, 2010, 2014. And if you look last season, or same calendar year, early in the year, his closest brush with victory was in Phoenix, another desert venue, when he was runner-up to Hideki Matsuyama. No shame in that, got to a playoff. Lots and lots of good form in the desert. Won his US Open title on the West Coast as well. I just think he's really comfortable. I just think he's someone who will win soon, and you've just got to find the right course for him. And although he's obviously, it's reflected in the betting, I think he can go in this way. There's no Matsuyama. There's no big real name in the field to stop him. So at 20 to 1, I'll take him each way.
There you go, Simpson, Webb Simpson, Dave, and you as well, Mike.
Yeah, agree with everything Dave said. Past winner here, fourth here, a couple of fourths here actually. Lots of top 20s and top 10s in his last 15 events or so. And he's been putting much better. His top 50 for putting on tour so far this year was 88th on the whole of last season, which for him isn't bad. Very good tee to green man. Big chance.
There you go. Webb Simpson for both Dave and Mike. I'm going with Benny Ahn as my pick at 33-1. He's been very well tipped in the lead up to the tournament. That's why his price has been cut. But he's undoubtedly, in my mind, one of the most talented players in this field. And he loves desert golf. Every time he plays on the European Tour's Desert Swing, we mention him on this podcast as being a man that is made and built for golf in the desert. And he's subsequently enhanced that record as well on the PGA Tour last season with a sixth at Phoenix. Last season, and he's bounced back to form recently as well with a 21st place finish in the Italian Open, then went on to the CJ Cup a couple of weeks ago and finished in a tie for 11th. I think he's got a big chance, and there's just enough juice in the price at 33-1. So Byung Yun Ahn, or Benny Ahn, is my pick at 33-1.
Why do you think he is good at desert golf then?
I'm not sure what makes him so good at desert golf. I think it's because he strikes the ball so crisply, and he likes putting on quick greens as well, which I think is maybe a factor. I can't think of anything else. It's just that
it just works.
Yeah, it just works for him.
Yeah. It's like the theory's already been tested, because all his good desert golf was in the United Arab Emirates, and I think Qatar he played well. So will that translate to Phoenix? And it did. So yeah, that was like the dress rehearsal for this.
Hopefully. 33-1, Benny Ahn. Who's your second pick then, Dave?
Well, I'm going to take a chance on a player who, like Webb Simpson, is a former Ryder Cup player, and yet he's 100-1. You know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Hunter Mahan.
All right, okay.
Bit of a blast from the past, isn't he? And I think if you've just taken a sort of slight casual interest in the golf, you think he's retired or something, or just vanished. Where's he gone? And yet, you look through his form, he's got a lot of top 20s in recent times.
Yeah.
More than I thought. I know I'd seen him coming back, but he's actually got four top 20s in his last seven starts. And that includes two in the last two. That's two in this new wraparound season. Tied 13th at the Safeway, tied 18th at the Southern Farms. So that caught my eye as someone who's coming back, and now you just think, well, where could he actually really challenge? And again, we're back to this idea of desert golf. You look at where his wins have come from. He won in Phoenix. He also won the match play in Arizona. So he's got two of his PGA Tour wins have come in the desert. Not sensational form in this event, but he's got a 15th and a 25th. I just think he's someone who's... You read through his quotes, you're thinking, what? Basically, it's just a case of, I think, life's got in the way. He's got three kids under 4 years old. It's obviously changed his perspective. But now I think he's found the balance a bit. He's started... he's done some good work with Chris O'Connell, a coach, and he just sounds really confident. Mm. So it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, if this event had been played, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, he would have been 16-1, wouldn't he?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So 100-1. We're kind of anticipating that he will get back to those levels, but I think he's got a decent chance. And while he's going off at these prices, I think I want to catch him.
Very good. 100-1 on Hunter Mahan is Dave's second pick. Mike, let's cross over to you.
I'm going for a Las Vegas resident here, guys. I'm going for Ryan Moore as my second pick. He's been kind of, you know, coming back to form slowly after a fairly quiet period. But I just like his recent form has been decent. He was 20th in the BMW, 17th in the Safeway. A couple of decent results, you know, and from the point of the PGA last August where he was 13th. So he's a past winner here. Good Peter Green man. Puts well. And most importantly, he's got five tour wins. So this guy knows how to do it when he gets in contention. I think that Ryan Moore is another person to keep on your mind. He tends to play well at this time of year as well. Don't really know why, but he has got a number of wins around this time. So I thought 28-1 for a proven winner who's just showing some really nice indications that he might be ready to win was a good price, good each-way price.
Ryan Moore, Mike's selection at 28-1. Are there any others you want to mention, Dave?
Yeah, I definitely looked at Ryan Moore. Jamie Lovemark at 33s. I think we've ducked him a little bit there. He, you look at his stats, he's been hitting it really straight in recent events. He was fifth in that CJ Cup at Nine Bridges. I think in his ninth, one of these guys, he's not won yet, but in his ninth start, he was runner-up in the desert, wasn't he, to, I think, Troy Mattison. It was the fries.com that was in California, but then Troy Mattison has since won this event, so maybe it's a bit of correlation there. I think he'll win, not in this season, Jamie Lovemark, and 33, he's decent. He's got, I think he's got a top 15 on this course, allied with his good play in South Korea. I think he'll go close.
He was on my list alongside Luke's list, and no pun intended. But I just thought 33's put him right in there with multiple winners, and he hasn't. And not far, you know, list isn't much bigger price. So they've been found, I thought. You know, they must have big chances, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them play very well, but I didn't think they were massive value.
I was just going to say they've got very similar profiles, haven't they, Lovemark and List?
Yeah, I wondered if you, Mike, would have put up Martin Laird, because he's brilliant in the desert, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's showing glimpses of coming back to his better form as well. I did think about him, Dave, very much so. Benny Ann was on my mind, as Dave said, because of desert play. Those two were on my list. And just to mention two others, Scott Pearcy is a Las Vegas guy, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him play well. And I did back Patrick Cantlay last week, and it wouldn't be the biggest shock, would it, to see him go very well in this event, because he's a real quality player.
Indeed. Chaps, I think that just about wraps us up. Who's the player you don't want to win this week, I suppose? That's the final question. Mike, who's the player you don't want to win?
Yo Slouten,
there you go. Dave?
Probably Tyrrell Hatton.
I think I'd have to probably go with... I'm not going to back him at 150-1, so Renato Paratore, it'd be frustrating if he won.
You've got to back him, Dave, at that price,
haven't
you?
Underplaying it.
Mike, thank you for your company on this podcast for the last few years, Mike. It's been an absolute pleasure of mine, and I know you're leaving the company at this juncture, but hopefully you'll still be tweeting your golf bets out, Mike.
I will, Dave, of course. I'll still be betting on golf, and I'll still be listening to you guys every week. It's been a pleasure doing the podcast with both of you, and I will continue to listen. As always, it's been really good fun. So I'll miss doing it with you, but all the best for the future.
Do make sure you follow Mike on Twitter. Thank you, Mike. At M Grenham is Mike's Twitter handle. You can follow Dave at Dave Tindall Golf, and you can follow myself at D Kellner. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website ahead of the golf this week as well by going to sports.williamhill.com, and make sure you check this podcast out on iTunes. You can get it delivered weekly if you wish to do so, so make sure you do that. All that we're left to do is the staking plan for this week. So, Dave, you fire us off.
Yeah, in Turkey then, I'll do a point each way, Alexander Levy at 40s. And in Las Vegas, the Shriners, I will do a point and a half each way, Webb Simpson at 20s. And half a point each way on Hunter Mahan at 100s.
Mike?
Yeah, I'll go a point each way on all of mine, Dave. Dunn, Uline, Moore and Simpson in the respective events. Point each way on all of them. I like them all. I think they're all good chances and decent prices, so they're all worthy of the point each way.
I'm going to point each way on my two as well. Pablo Larrazabal at 80-1 in the Turkish Airlines Open, and Benny Arn in the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open on the PGA Tour. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I do hope you've enjoyed it, and myself and Dave will be back next week. If you're having a bet on the golf with William Hill this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.